Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've had super cold temperatures, unseasonably warm temperatures, and a lot of back and forth this winter. That is a combination that can add up to some trouble around the house. This hour, our home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here to help us troubleshoot and fix things up. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here.
You bet.
And so what's the deal with this back and forth, freeze-thaw? Why is that so problematic?
Well, I think a lot of people have noticed. I've gotten a lot more calls this year, I think mostly because of that freeze-thaw. Freeze-thaw is, Iowans tend to have pretty leaky ceilings and leaky attics as far as letting warm air from inside the house sneak up into the attic space, whether it goes up a set of stairs like on an old, you know, two-story farmhouse. Where you have that, you know, a door coming out of a bedroom and easy access, or even in a lot of new homes where they fail to seal around light fixtures and wires and any penetrations go up in the attic. Well, no matter how much insulation you have up in the attic, the warm, moist air will travel up, and in many cases it'll condense, you know, or form frost on the bottom of your roof. So, like, if you looked up into the attic space, you know, through a hatchway, or in some cases walk up the stairs, and it looks like the inside of a freezer, that's a really bad situation. In some cases, the sun will come out, and it'll slowly evaporate or melt that and evaporate, and you won't have any catastrophic water. But I actually had a friend call that said that his was so bad that he didn't know he had a problem, except that there was water running in on the basement floor that came down the interior walls. And because, you know, I've been in attics where it might be a half inch of frost up there because of air leakage, warm air going up. And when it comes down, then it gets everything wet. Well, if your insulation gets wet, then it doesn't perform. But worst case scenario is a lot of times it will come down, it'll go through the insulation, and then it'll set on wood, and it can't really dry because the insulation's wet. And so it's just almost like a big wet sponge. And then so then your wood starts to deteriorate. And in many cases, you'll see when they come in and maybe put new shingles on the house or repair some damages, the bottom 4 feet of your roof deck in many cases is so rotten they have to replace that. And in some cases, the rafters are bad. And I've seen some really bad instances where, and a lot of my friends keep telling me and sending me pictures as well, is we throw a lot of warm air in, say, from our bathroom fans and our range hoods and other ventilation, sometimes dryers, you know, they throw it up in the attic and expect it to somehow get out. And like in ice dams, you know, when we talk about those, it seems like the remedy is always people will say, oh, it needs more ventilation. It needs to stop warm air from getting up in the attic and causing, you know, the snow on top to melt and go down the bottom where there's no heat loss. But what happens is we look at textbooks, we look at magazines, we watch do-it-yourself channels, and they have all these arrows, blue and red arrows, saying that, okay, that warm air is going to go out this hole that you, magic hole that you put in your on your roof, that's a ventilation hole. It doesn't work that way. The warm, moist air goes up just like a balloon, and then it raises straight up usually, and then hits the roof sheeting, and then it starts to condense because it's warm air, hits a cold roof deck, and then you get condensation.
Now, a lot of us don't go up in our attics very often or look at our attics very often.
No.
So how do you diagnose the problem? Should you be checking your attic?
Yes. I mean, everybody should check that attic. And that hatch, the hatchway is a big culprit a lot of times. That hatch is supposed to be, well, first of all, it's supposed to have like 5/8 thick or type X, they call it, fire-rated drywall or gypsum board, not just a piece of decorative paneling, because your whole ceiling is supposed to be fire-rated in your home. Especially on the newer homes. But, you know, so you have to seal that down. You have to pull it down and have a gasket around it so that warm air can't sneak around that hatchway. And you have to have the amount of insulation on top of that hatch that's equivalent to the same of the rest of your attic. And so, but you should get up there and look, especially when it gets really cold, because that's when you can see it. I was in an attic a couple weeks ago, and they'd run the bathroom vent fan that has a 4-inch round duct coming out of it. And it went out into the overhang of the house. Now, we used to do this like 20 years ago, so I mean, we were all at fault back then. But it goes out into that overhang that, you know, like, say, right outside the outside of the house. And those are usually vented, so because everybody wants a vented attic. And so that warm air, warm, moist air, goes out, and it comes right back in, right around the holes that are vented, comes back in. And last couple weeks ago, it actually traveled through a person's overhang and then came up into the garage. So when I was standing in the garage attic, here's this just a huge plume of frost buildup, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, but it was actually traveling through the overhang and coming up into the attic in another spot and rotting that plywood out. And, you know, it's just we need to really focus on air sealing that attic. In fact, in Minnesota, if you want to add more insulation in your attic, you can't until you air seal that ceiling. We've learned so much in the last 20 years in building science that one of the biggest things we have to do is seal that attic to stop the warm, moist air from going up.
Bill, you're scaring me a lot today.
I know, that's my job.
I know that's your job.
Oh,
but
I love
it. How many of us do you think have this problem?
Well, in some cases, a lot. I'm going around looking at new construction. They're supposed to be following the energy code. It's mandated throughout the whole state, just like the electrical code. And when I drive by and see a house that's recently completed and I see melt spots on their attic, like coming down today, when I drove down today, here's some melting spots on that thin layer of snow on top of the roof. And I can tell right where that bathroom's at because either there's a can light that they didn't seal around and the warm ice air is coming around can light and warming the roof deck up enough to cause melting on top of the roof. Well, if it's warming it up, there's probably condensation starting there already. And, you know, people my age, like, you know, in their 60s, builders, you know, we're fighting what we were taught, our old customs. We got to let a house breathe. That's old Reader's Digest type information. And if they follow the codes that are built, which is a D level, a D, you know, it, like as a grade, it's the absolute minimum required by law, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we see. And a lot of it is because builders, they're so busy that they haven't been able to keep up. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but right. I still think that's part of their craft and they should be learning these things. But I think everyone should take a look in their attic. And if they see this moisture, they need to get a hold of someone that understands building science.
And now it's been warm again. Now it's cold again. Is this a great time to go up in the attic today?
Well, not today. Well, it could be because you could be melting. You know, that's the thing. And, you know, now that it's starting to warm, you know, we may not have any more of this type of damage. But the thing is that wood is still wet.
Right.
And
so what do you do? If your wood is wet, do you get a big fan up there?
Well, in some cases, the sun will do it for you because the sun, what it does is it heats up the roof and it does it very slowly because it's, I'll tell you what was really neat is we're in this one attic and it had a south roof and we're watching as the sun's coming up and it's rising. We're watching the moisture on the bottom of the inside of, we're in the inside of the attic and we're watching the moisture dry. It almost looks like a sundial. I mean, you could sit and put marks on it as the sun's warming the roof deck up and it's slowly warming it up enough for that to evaporate, you know, and so then, you know, well, what happens to that moisture? You know, ventilation a lot of times will take it out, but in many cases, it'll just kind of stay in the wood and slowly dry.
All right.
That's the nice thing about wood is it kind of pulls it in and it slowly dries. And it's very forgivable. And so in many cases, you'll look and think, we don't have any problems. But in some of those rare instances, you get that super fast warming after a really cold spell, kind of like what we had.
Right.
And that's
several times this winter.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's briefly talk a little bit about ice dams, which is something else we've seen a lot of this winter. So what's happening?
Well, you know, that's so common in Iowa. And a lot of it is you'll see it on mostly older homes. And the reason you see it on older homes more is, of course, that we have a lot of warm air leaking into the attic. So we have excess heat going up. And it's mostly because even if they've added insulation in their attic, and even if they've, you know, done a really good job of air sealing and doing the best they can, when we used to build, we had our rafters come down, you know, the roof would sit on top of the walls, and you only had about maybe 3 to 4 inches where the outside wall and the roof meet. You only had about 3 or 4 inches of space to insulate, which is not nearly enough. And then when you add ventilation chutes to let air come from the overhang to get into the attic and then go out, you know, the ridge or somewhere else, then you cut that down more because they were usually like 1.5 inches tall. So in many cases, we'll go in and people have tried to insulate and there's no insulation above the wall and where the wall and the roof meet. And so that's really warm there. And so then it warms that roof and everywhere up, it warms that roof deck up, and then the overhang has no heat. And so it comes down and it freezes. And so then it freezes at the end down by your gutters, and then it keeps building up, building up, building up. And that's when that water backs under your shingles and can cause issues. Now, that's the other thing that we see when you re-roof a house or build new or an addition. You have to use basically an adhesive felt paper. It's a very heavy ice and water shield, and it comes in 3-foot rolls. And so people put down one roll of it and say, okay, I put it on. But if you look at the code, that has to come up 2 feet inside of that outside wall. So basically you need 2 courses of it, like 6 feet of it, so that if you do have an ice dam, so what? It's just going to be a little bit of extra weight. And this stuff, when you could drive, I swear you could drive 100 nails in the size of a deck of cards and it won't leak because it seals around the nails. And so if you have that adhesive felt paper there, the odds of having damage from an ice dam, other than maybe tearing your gutters off, but at least it's not going to get inside.
Right. So that's something better to ask about when you have your roof redone.
Right, right. And you know, and then maintenance-wise, you know, we tend to not get up and clean valleys when we have a compound roof. If we get the junk out of the valleys, that also helps a lot.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nevy. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. You can join the conversation, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. First question, this is from Kim in Des Moines. What is the best product and way to fill defects or cracks in hardwood floors after they've been sanded down before applying finish?
Well, first of all, I would go to a floor finishing, like a very good, maybe upper level paint or hardware store to find out exactly what kind of product they have that's going to adhere to your type of hardwood, because, you know, all the woods are a little bit different, birch, maple, you know, oak, some even are starting to look at, they call bamboo hardwood flooring, which I can't figure that one out, you know, because it's the grass. But there are some really good heavy epoxy based fillers. And I've seen where some friends of mine, they've been using just a clear epoxy to fill that whole thing up, trying to match the color scheme, because the clear epoxy actually almost gives it a depth, and it kind of adds to the look, the patina of the wood. But I would do some research. I maybe go to the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and there are some sites there where you can pull in information on hardwoods. They do a lot of wood research as well as the University of Minnesota. But also, if you bought that particular wood from, you know, maybe a store from, you know, the Des Moines area, I'd get a hold of them and find out which one is going to seal and stick best to that type of wood. It is kind of strange because some of the woods that when they do try to make things adhere, when different moisture contents and different times of the year, it seems to end up with different results. So you have to make sure that everything is compatible. And I know that, you know, I could just say go out and get Minwax wood filler, you know, and that would probably work for 90%. But I want to make sure that that, you know, you do maybe a little bit more research on your particular wood and maybe have some samples of it and try different fillers, because there's a ton of fillers you can buy off the shelf. But I want to make, I think, like a lot of times, a clear epoxy just kind of adds a little bit to it. And that's just personal.
All right. And so what about, Kim's wondering about oil-based versus water-based when you come to finish it.
You know, that's a real battle. It's fun to read articles, and I swear you put them in a room, you'd have everybody have to have on a suit of armor, you know, to keep the fights down. the newer latexes, it seems like a lot of people are swinging more to the latexes, and there's another issue that's been going on. Is I have a friend in Vermont that used some oils, oil-based finishes. And it was not made in the United States and actually had mold building up in the wood and in the finishes because it didn't go through the regulation process that we have in the United States. So actually this oil, you know, when you break it down, actually you can get mold growing on that type of oil that was in his finish. He had it actually growing out a part of the siding even because he used an oil-based finish. So I think the swing is, you know, if I walked that door, I'd probably get smacked for saying it. But, you know, I think the swing is starting to go more to latex because they've been working so hard on it, especially when you look at the volatile organic compounds.
It's a lot less unpleasant to put on.
Yes.
I like that answer.
Yeah. Well, and when we're looking at, you know, health and smells and, you know, and the chemicals effects on humans, I think you're going to see a lot more just going to latex.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Bob is on the line. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a traditional farmhouse with a, you know, open, unfinished attic. Considering finishing the attic, I've been talking to people about, I was wondering what your thoughts would be about insulating, like, right at the roof deck in the rafter chute.
Right.
As opposed to the floor, and then I guess how that would affect everything you're talking about.
You know, that's a good question. We're working on a couple projects right now with Iowa Economic Development Authority where we're looking at, it's an old home built in, it was one of the first houses in Southwest Iowa built in the 1860s. And the house is just in unbelievable shape. The owner has just fixed it up really cool. And so they have an attic, and when you walk up the attic, you know, it has, you know, do you have wood on top of the ceiling joists? So, like, you walk up and you could use it for storage, or is that kind of what it is right now?
No, it's just insulation.
Oh, great. Okay, that's even better yet. What we're looking at right now, the most cost-effective thing ended up being that to insulate the roof deck with closed cell spray foam. And
okay.
the reason was is especially the labor side of it. They come in, they get it done, and so now the attic is in the thermal envelope. It's in the enclosed space. You're not sitting here trying to seal every doggone, you know, penetration of wire, and especially if it's an older home and you have any of the old knob and tube wiring, you can't have any insulation touching that. So if you have insulation in your attic right now and the old knob and tube is still being used, I would pull all that insulation away because it can be a real fire hazard, especially, when you get the roof deck spray foamed, that insulation that's on the ceiling is absolutely no use at all. But you got to look at it because hopefully it's not the old looks like called it zonalite, and that it had the asbestos and like a vermiculite type. It had asbestos in it. So if you pick it up and it has some like shiny properties to it, don't even go up in there. Let the professionals.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know what you have up in there, but yeah, let them.
I think it's cellulose.
Okay, good. Well, then you're fine. But yeah, have them spray the whole roof deck, and when that's done, you don't need attic ventilation because you know it'd be like insulating your or ventilating your living room. That seems to have worked out. You know, it's kind of pricey in many cases, but when you look at the whole package, it's a really good way to go. Just make sure you get plenty of references, and make sure that that roof temperature is at least 50 to 55 degrees. The room temperature really doesn't matter so much. I mean, it should be at least 50, but you want to make sure that that surface that you're spraying the foam on is warm enough and they're following the actual directions of the manufacturer because, you know, it's kind of funny. We've got some slides we use in presentations of a guy spraying foam, and we ask, is this person have their chemistry degree from, say, Iowa State University? Because spraying foam, you almost have to be a chemist to do it correctly. And so you really want to do your due diligence and get a lot of references. There's some – we're lucky in Iowa. We've got some pretty good spray foamers, but you want to make sure they have plenty of experience and understand what's going on.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Linda is up next in Des Moines. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. I have no attic. We have dormers instead. House was built in 1917. We don't have snow when the neighbors do, and the heat bills would support that the heat's gone right straight through the roof.
Yeah.
We blew insulation into the walls, or brick walls, and we found there was no insulation between the brick and the drywall.
Okay.
So we took care of that. My question is, when the roof is replaced, which is coming up pretty soon, can insulation, meaningful insulation, be done through the roof?
Yes.
Perhaps with the spray foam that you were just talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways. So you do have a peaked roof, though, right? I mean,
It's not flat.
Okay, so the biggest bang for your buck is if they're going, the insulation that you have right now is to air seal everything first. And I wish I could see exactly what your attic looked like the whole system that you have, because there's
think Tudor.
Oh, Tudor style? Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, and there's a couple different ways to handle your case. Is in many cases they'll insulate like on top of your ceiling joists with rigid foam, and then air seal that, seal all the seams, and then blow more insulation over the top so that handles all of your air sealing. Can you get access to the, so like when they're re-roofing, I guess what I'm saying, when they're re-roofing and they look through, they pull the sheeting off the roof and they look between the rafters, are they looking down into a room or are they looking down into?
They're looking down into a room.
Okay.
They're looking at drywall, which if you poked your finger through the drywall, they'd be looking into a room.
Yeah. Okay. There's two different ways. I would get a hold of a contractor that and sometimes they're more of a commercial contractor that do sheet foam insulation. You can do it from the inside, and they will insulate. They would add foam to the inside of those rooms and the ceiling, and then re-sheet rock it. That's one way to do it. Or you can put a thin layer of foam over all of that area, like 1 inch of sheet foam, and insulate between your ceiling joists or your rafters, which are the same thing in that case. Or they can have foam insulation added to the top, like a commercial project, like on a flat roof. They would put insulation over the rafters and then new sheeting and then shingles, which would be more of a hot roof situation. It's yours is very complicated. And what I would do is I would go to just get on the internet and look up Building Science Corporation or BSC.
Okay.
And then there's thousands of articles on there, and just, you know, Tudor or mansard roof insulation. But just look at various insulation strategies, and that'll help you maybe understand how this is going together. But you have like three options, and if not done right, they could all be catastrophic as far as moisture vapor goes and things like that. So you need to have someone in your, that's, you've got a tough one. You have to have somebody that understands moisture flow and vapor permeability. And any of the contractors, do you understand vapor flow, permeability, and dew points? And if they go, what? And okay, they move on to someone else.
All right, Linda, good
luck with that. Yeah, that's not a really easy fix sometimes.
Thanks a lot for your call. John is on the line next in Madison County. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a earth-sheltered home that's 80 foot long. 28 foot of it is the garage. It's not heated. The house is. I have a vaulted ceiling that's like 22 feet, and there's some black stuff around my ceiling fan. I have continuous soffit on an 8-foot overhang porch, the hardy plank. I have continuous soffit the length of the back of the 3-foot overhang and continuous ridge bed. And yeah. I went up in the attic and all my insulation, I built it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I could see the top of that ductwork. And I didn't know if the black stuff in the vaulted ceiling fan had something to do with the insulation was settling.
Yeah.
I was told to put solar vents, you know, constant running air vents on the roof.
Well, that could be the absolute worst thing to do. Because in your case, if you put the solar vents on, it has to get air from somewhere, okay? And it theoretically, it would come up through your overhangs. You know, theoretically, that's where it would get that amount of air. But the thing is, you still have moisture coming up somewhere from inside your house. So you want to seal those air leaks. And you can do these from the inside. Most of them, like for lights and, you know, things like that, you can air seal those. There's different strategies to do that. But if you can see the ductwork, is it metal duct or is it insulated ductwork? And
it's just that flexible round tubing in earth, and like, you know, earth homes I put in the ceiling because all my heat goes down. It doesn't come up like
traditional heating vents. Like, and how old is it?
10 years.
Okay, so that ductwork... So it's the flexible, yeah. So
but my attic access is in the garage, which is not heated. It's just one of them pulled down with the metal stairs.
Yeah,
it's not really insulated. So is that something that might be causing moisture to get through there?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, when you drive, especially that, you know, in the winter when we drive a vehicle in, you know, that water and ice and all that evaporates and usually goes up in the attic. And, you know, the vents may help, but we've got to stop the moisture from getting up into there. And if you stop the moisture, in many cases, you know, you're not going to have a problem. But what's scaring me is you shouldn't have any biologicals whatsoever showing anywhere. And I would check and see if there's any leaks in that flex and make sure the flex duct is pulled as straight as it can. And not every little bend. That's why in the projects we work on, we don't use flex duct. We'll use metal pipe, and then, you know, and then insulate the outside of it.
I was just wondering because the soffit, continuous soffit, and the ridge vent share the cold part of the garage and the warm part of the house.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It runs 80 foot long.
Yeah, and earth homes tend to, what is relative humidity halfway high inside your house? I mean,
it's pretty dry right now in there. I don't know what I should do. I know the fan's working great. It's not having any problems, and I was just wondering if it was mold or it's just something from moisture coming down from where the box, electrical box is up there.
It could vary. I'd go up there and start crawling around and dig around any of the you know, around any of the where the boxes are going through your ceiling. Seal all those up as best you can. And kind of start off in small steps, seal all that stuff first and see how it works. I wouldn't invest in the solar fans right now because it sounds like you've got plenty of ventilation. It's just that we've got to stop that moisture. And I'd really check where the flex duct, where they make the connections, because in many times you'll have the insulated flex duct and then it goes on to a boot and that boot's not insulated. And so we get a ton of moisture on those. I've seen it where it's just dripping, and that alone may be causing your issue.
Yeah, it seems dry up there. It just seems like it's settling.
It will settle, you know. But that may be it right there, just where the ceiling connection with the boot.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate the input. Yep. Have a great day.
Yeah,
thanks
you too.
Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Here's a question from Barb in Iowa City. Does running a vaporizer in an upstairs bedroom cause attic problems? We're starting to see water spots on the wall.
You sure can. Yeah. A vaporizer, you know, is it's supposed to be, you know, good for a person when they're right next to it, I guess. But boy, if it raises that relative humidity, especially in a home that's not insulated correctly or air sealed correctly, you can fill the walls and saturate the insulation that's in the walls. And if you're starting to see, you know, any spots, any water spots, that means there's condensation somewhere. And so that warm, moist air is hitting cold air, and then you're getting the moisture. So you may want, if you can see, especially over the, if on the, in the bedroom, on the outside, where the outside wall and the ceiling meet, on the ceiling, if you're starting to see some black stripes coming from the outside wall coming towards the inside of the room, right where the ceiling joist is, if you're starting to see some, they call it ghosting, it's because you've got way too much moisture in that room, and it's got to get out of there. I mean, that's always hard, that health aspect,
yeah.
but that moisture's going someplace, so you've got to get it out of there and try to just get the vapor into the person and not the rest of the room, I guess.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer more of your questions. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's our home improvement day today. Home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, you wanted to circle back to talking about the vaporizers.
Yeah.
And that's something so many of us need in the winter. A dry cough can really make things tough.
I know it is, and that's why I wanted to revisit Barb's question, because this is so hard for people. Because I mean, I remember when I was young, we'd have that basically like look like an aquarium, you know, the old vaporizers, yeah, for a dry cough. And the, you know, I think what maybe the best thing to do, and I'm just kind of spitballing here, but is, you know, get with the doctor and ask, is there any other way to, you know, address in being able to get more vapor into your system and, you know, to alleviate the drying. You know, I was just kind of envisioning, you know, a lot of people use a CPAP, you know, basically a headgear, you know, that helps people with sleep apnea. And so you've got air coming in all the time. And I would think there'd be something that you could wear to bring in, you know, the moisture to yourself rather than putting into the room. Because,
all right, so if it's serious enough problem that you need,
yes,
this, you think that you also need to protect your house.
Well, yeah, because here's the case. Because you're trying to help yourself, but if you start adding excess moisture, especially if there's a chance there's any dew point possibilities, whether it's in the carpet right next to an outside wall, in many cases there's a tremendous areas for air leaks. I've been in houses where I've taken my temperature sensor and I'll be looking at the walls and it's 70 degrees. And I was in one not long ago where I went down by the floor and it was windy that day and it was 22 degrees. So there was so much air leakage. Well, if that high moisture level meets that cold, well, there might be some things growing in on that carpet, and getting that into your lungs along with the moisture could make the whole situation even worse. So, you know, I would ask a doctor, say, you know, I really don't want to be pumping all this moisture into my house walls, and it's very possible, and it sounds nasty, and it can be even worse. So that just scares me, and they always have. Same thing with humidifiers. They always just scare the heck out of me.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Michelle is on the line in Altoona. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You
What's
bet.
Your question?
Okay. My question is, our house was built in 1913, and the owners before us built on garage and or attached garage and turned it into a what we call a great room. It's got a little fireplace and all that good stuff. Well, what they left was a window that was a window to the outside, and it comes in the house through our stairway that goes up to the second floor. So I have this window that serves no purpose other than looking out on the attic.
Okay.
So, actually, this is terrible, but I have a tap hanging over it. But my question is, could we remove that window and just drywall over it? I've been told I can't, so I haven't. But I'm just wondering.
So you're looking into the garage attic then, right?
Yeah.
Is the garage have a ceiling in it? I mean, obviously, I guess it does because it's a great room now. What a bozo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason that I can think of that you couldn't is maybe for fire issues, but you know, you have a ceiling down below. You just treat it just like an exterior wall. So I would frame it in and put, me personally, I'd put at least 1 inch of, sheet foam, like extruded foam, like the blue, green, pink stuff, and seal it, air seal it, and then cover it with 5/8 gypsum board.
5/8 gypsum board.
Right, okay. And then seal around that as well to make sure that with a good polyurethane caulking. This is on the garage side that I'm saying.
On the garage side.
The garage side, right. And then on the inside of it, be just insulate. You can just take some fiberglass bats, cut them perfectly to fit in between all of your framing members, and then go ahead and put on some, I'd put another layer of 5/8 sheetrock just to play it safe. You can run this by your building inspector.
Good idea. Okay.
Just to play it safe, because because you may have in your area, you may have, in Altoona, they may have something specific, especially on remodeling and fire, because every town has a little different outlook. And so I'd run it by them and get their opinion on how they want that done, because you should get a permit for that as well. Just run it by them. They're very helpful usually. Altoona's got some good inspectors.
Yeah, they do. And I will definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Michelle. Next up, we've got Harvey in Mason City. Hi, Harvey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm thinking of replacing the shower stall in my bathroom. I've seen these prefab shower stalls with plastic walls that imitate tile with grout.
Yep.
Are those durable for the long term or not?
Well, they are. Here we go. Are you looking at one like that's like 100 and some bucks, or one that's like 500 and some bucks?
Well, I really don't know, because I haven't looked into it enough yet.
Well,
I'm not trying to save money. I want a good one.
Okay.
You know?
Some of them, the higher end ones are pretty doggone good, because it's solid plastic, or usually polyvinyl, give you that tile look. Now the cheaper ones have actually, it's kind of a masonite base, which is wood fiber, and then they have a thin covering that makes it look like tile. Now I remember we used to put that on, they used to call it Marlite. We used to put that in showers back in the 70s. That lasts about 2 years. But the good high-end ones, putting one in for my daughter, and that one is going to hold up for, 50 years. It's just how you attach it and make sure that you use the right adhesives and the right caulking that the manufacturer has. And I keep reiterating back to the manufacturer. But that's the key point, because what it gets glued to or adhered to, if that's not solid, then this whole thing's going to peel off. And so it will give you a suggestion whether it wants moisture-resistant drywall behind there, or if it wants some other product to adhere these panels to. Because in many cases, they don't want to just go ahead and adhere it to painted drywall, for instance. Because you may start getting some softening of the drywall behind it. That's really the biggest key is what you adhere it to. The product itself should be fine. I like a lot of them. Oh, and then when you put the base down, be sure and put cement, mix up some pre-mixed concrete, and put that underneath where you're standing, so when you set the base down that there's no flex in the base. So when you step on it, it doesn't flex. That's about the only other thing. But most of them are pretty nice. And make sure you have nailers, which would be wood, some wood built in into the wall where you can attach the actual wall section. Because some of them, the ones that I'm thinking of have to screw to the wall in some areas. Make sure there's wood back there and not just screw it into drywall.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Harvey. Next up, we've got Gene in Ames. Hi, Gene. Gene, are you there? All right.
Pretty quiet.
We've lost Gene. Let's give Phil a try in Des Moines. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. I'm building a new single-story home with a vaulted main room, and kind of wondering if there'd be any pro or con against, in addition to whatever insulation the contractor is planning to put up, and the roof will be well insulated and vented, et cetera, but adding like an inch of foil-faced polyiso insulation over all the ceiling surfaces, so we could, you know, really tape the seams and have that extra insulation, and also cold bridge.
Yeah. Actually, that's usually what I do on projects and on my own house as well. And my vaulted ceiling is I didn't use polyiso. I used extruded foam, and I put the 1 inch on the bottom to cut down that thermal bridging. And what's really funny is, you know, the ones that I've worked on and we've done that way, we haven't seen the drywall crack at the ridge like you see in a lot of houses.
Oh.
You know, and you go in, and I always, that's one of the things I go in, and when I have a vault, I always look up there and see if the tape's coming down or something. That, you know, I think people don't give enough credit to that slowing of that, you know, thermal bridging. I think that should be a, you know, it is recommended, but I'd love to see that required sometime where they put at least 1 inch, like an R5 continuous underneath and taped, like what you're saying. And that way, you know, the performance of the whole envelope is so much better. Are you going to put can lights in?
Yes.
Okay, take a look at the LED surface mounts rather than the can lights, because can lights are so hard to air seal. And when they say they're airtight, you know, it'll say,
right,
insulation, ICAT, insulation contact, airtight. When you go in there with an infrared camera, you'll find out how airtight they are. So take a look at the new LEDs, because they just hook right into, a 4-inch box, a standard box, which you can air seal completely. Now, I always use, like, CertainTeed membrane, which is a forgivable vapor retarder, over the whole ceiling, but if you can put that up and the foam, or in many cases, you know, you can just put the foam up. But we got to remember, though, all of those foams tend to shrink over time a little bit. And if you put the foil face one on the bottom, that's the an absolute vapor barrier, and usually that doesn't shrink.
Oh, okay.
But I would take a look. Go to Green Building Advisor or Building Science Corporation, and I could see you're familiar with them.
Joe
Stieberick. Joe Stieberick, and then Peter Yost does Green Building Advisor and Martin Holiday. But Peter Yost, I've worked with him before on presentations and stuff, and he's really good resource as well. So I would kind of, because he does a lot of testing as well. So take a look at either one of those two sites. I really like what Peter Yost does. And as well as for everybody, download a Construction Instruction. It's a free app. I think it's the most popular construction app now that there is. And it shows all these things in animations. So, I'd get that app, too. That's Mark Liberté
and you.
Justin Wilson, knows that bunch of guys. So, yeah, that's what you're doing is the right thing. I mean, I'm glad you're doing it that way. That sounds good.
Cool.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Phil. Let's get to some email questions here. Hopefully a few quick ones. This one's from David in Iowa City. I was told that the injected foam exterior wall insulation turns to powder over the years. Is that true?
The old formaldehyde stuff, it turned to powder and it would shrink. And the thing is, you hit it like with a garden hose and it just washes away. It had no stability, not to mention it had the formaldehyde in it, which was really bad. Some of the injectables, this is kind of a touchy area to say on air, but there you really need to research the companies that are using the injectables. Because in many cases we've gone back, and friends of mine have gone back and looked inside the walls and did infrared scans of the walls and such. Maybe in many cases 50% of the area was filled in. Hmm. Other areas it was just you're wasting your money.
So when you say do your research, I mean, how do you know?
Well, you're going to have to get a lot of references and ask them, you know, how do you make sure that whole cavity is being filled? Are you poking holes every once in a while, which is kind of a joke? Are you using infrared? Because that's the only one that's okay. And in an infrared, the downside is if there's not much temperature difference between inside and outside, it's kind of sometimes kind of hard to get a scan. But that is really scary because there are some companies around that are doing this and you're not getting what you paid for is, I guess, the most politically correct way to
say
it. All
right, although a lot of people who are not getting what they paid for
yes,
don't know.
They
so
don't
know.
So you
can't depend on reviews.
Yeah, and that's where it's always hard. I mean, I know what company to do that I would never hire. But, you can't say it. And that's always kind of hard. I would, if you're sitting here right with me probably and say, don't record us, it's a different thing. But I guess.
So do your research, look at those reviews and ask about infrared.
And I would look at Department of Energy because I would look at those. And then there again, I think Green Building Advisor and Building Science Corporation, I think they've done some tests on some of these foams and they'll do that. Also, there was an article not many months ago, I believe, that was in Fine Home Building that showed some of them. But if they're really trying to push about how they're going to save you a whole ton of energy, usually I step back when they make claims that, especially, we're going to save you 50% on energy. Well, first of all, you're only going to save me maybe at best 50% on my heating and cooling, not my total utility bill, because how are you going to save me any electricity on my computers?
So if it sounds too good to be true,
in many
that's
cases
a red
it is.
Flag.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I wish there was a tactful way to say that, but
and there's obviously
I'm
no
struggling.
Such thing as a short answer. Let's try this
yes,
one.
Yes, okay. Thank
he also
you.
Wants
dig me
to
out
know,
of this thing, will you?
Does the pink accordion foam that they put under vinyl siding have any insulating value?
It's got a little. But mostly it's there for keeping the siding nice and straight and level.
All right.
And well, that's always been a big one for me. You're going to say, I got to save you a ton of energy. No, you're putting it on there most of the time because it levels the siding, makes the siding look better. If you're putting a quarter inch of insulation on there, you're getting about an R value of one.
Okay.
So,
although it's not doing any damage.
Usually not. It depends on usually who puts it on. See, that's where there again, building science kind of scares you sometimes.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. It's better if they're going to do that. Why not just have them put 1 inch over the whole thing? And then you've got an airtight wall and you've added an R5, which is continuous insulation. But I have seen cases where you've added that little bit of quarter and there's been some moisture issues.
Okay.
Just saying.
Let's try this for a quick question before we have to go. From Don, I'm interested in information about the tabs that can be installed on a steel roof to prevent the snow from sliding off. My house has a steel roof, and the snow slides off the roof in front of the doors. What do you think about those?
They're very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easy answer.
Yes, easy.
Quick question.
Especially if you have a hidden fastener steel roof, one that doesn't have all the screws showing all over the place, because if you didn't put the screws down right and you stop it, and then you might get a leak. So usually they're put on the hidden faster ones, standing seams.
All right. Bill McAnally.
This is a tough day.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there were a lot of questions we didn't have time to answer, but you'll come back again next month.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here today, sir.
Thank you.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Ben Stanton, and Emily Woodbury. We had production assistance today from Sean McLean. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.